Okay. So I apologize for going out of order. It would make more sense to Sukkot than Sukkot. Sorry, it would make more sense to Yom Kippur today and then Sukkot Motzei Shabbos, but we're going to go a bit out of order. We're going to do Sukkot now and then we'll go Yom Kippur Motzei Shabbos, so forgive me. Okay, so let's just discuss sort of the basic understanding of what the holiday is all about. So there's two tracks, right? We got the Shalosh Regalim track, which is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. It culminates in Sukkot. And we also have the Yom Narayim track, which also culminates in Sukkot. You got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. And I'm going to try to show the parallels between these two tracks and how both of them ultimately end up culminating this holiday of Sukkot and how it sort of incorporates elements from both the Shalosh Regalim track and also the Yom Narayim track. So bear with me. If I don't explain anything properly or clearly, please comment. Okay, so the first holiday is Pesach, right, in the Shalosh Regalim track. Now, I guess just as a word of Hakdama, right, the Shalosh Regalim track is about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of the Mefarshim explain, the Sasemis and others, that Pesach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared us to marry him. Shavuos is the Kiddushin, Kiddush Tan B'Mitzvosecha. And Sukkot is the chuppah. The sukkah represents the chuppah that we're getting married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Shalosh Regalim track, B'nei Yisrael and Hashem. And then we also have the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot track, which we've spoken a lot about Rosh Hashanah, right? This is more the track of the Teva, the Bria. And we'll explain how the two are coming sort of will be intertwined on Sukkot. So the first holiday is Pesach. So Pesach is about Klai Yisrael achieving spiritual freedom, right? We achieved Cheirus. And Klai Yisrael adapting upon themselves that we're the Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That fundamentally at Tesvav Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, we went from becoming the Avdei Achashvero, the Avdei Paro, becoming the Avdei Hashem. Rosh Hashanah. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? So first of all, Chazal teach that a lot of events happen. Rosh Hashanah, Yosef was freed from jail, Cheirus. Klai Yisrael stopped working in Mitzrayim, also an element of Cheirus. The Gemara teaches that Rachel, Chana, and Sarah were remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Avram and Yaakov were born on Rosh Hashanah. What's the common denominator amongst all these different things? So if you think about it, that those events I just mentioned were not themselves, right, Ruchnius, they weren't themselves like spiritual freedoms. It was a physical freedom that would eventually lead to a spiritual freedom. And Klai Yisrael stopped doing their avoda in Mitzrayim, that was the physical cheirus that eventually led to the Ruchnius cheirus in Nisan. When Yosef was freed from jail, at that moment there was nothing Ruchnius, that was the physical freedom that led to something much, right, that led to Ruchnius later. Again, when Avram and Yitzhar and Yaakov were born in Rosh Hashanah, there wasn't any Ruchnius at that moment, right? That led to Ruchnius. And same thing with the three women that we remembered in Rosh Hashanah. So we see that there's an element of Cheirus both by Pesach and by Rosh Hashanah. By Pesach, the Cheirus was like Klai Yisrael, right? It was more of a spiritual Cheirus, and now we became the Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Rosh Hashanah, it was a physical Cheirus that would lead to a spiritual Cheirus. And the point is, right, then there's also sort of Mitzad the Abdus, right? Pesach is about accepting that we're the Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's also what Rosh Hashanah is all about. That we now are mekabel upon ourselves that we're the Avadim of Hashem. Does that make sense? Right, so the parallels between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. Now, we've discussed in the past, I think, if we're not, I don't, or maybe I might have mentioned it, right? There's a big idea in Hasidus, right? You got Machshava Dibur Maisa, which is essentially the holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah is the machshava. It's about the potential that we have. And we hear the shofar. The shofar is supposed to wake us up. Yom Kippur is about the dibur, right? We got the vidur. It's all about the words, the tefillas. Then Yom Kippur, Sukkot, is the maisa, right? It's the taking of the lulav, the singing the sukkah. It's the kiyum of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I'll elaborate what I mean by this. And the point, though, is what do we do right after Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? What do we have? We have 10 days, Sesame Tshuva, to build us up to Yom Kippur. What do we do right after Leil HaSeder? we have Sfiras Omer, Tulias Teshuvus. Why? What's this all about? So Gedalia Shor explains that the Leil Seder, a person gets very much inspired. But if you don't concretize the inspiration, it's going to be for naught. So the night after the Seder, we start counting Sfiras Omer, which is 49 steady days of building leading up to Matan Torah, to Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is supposed to hopefully wake us up earlier today to do tshuva. We have 10 days that sort of builds up to Yom Kippur to sort of actualize that. So the same way we got Pesach, Sfiras Omer, Shavuos, we got Rosh Hashanah, the shofar wakes us up, the Machshava, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which culminates in Yom Kippur, which is akin to Shavuos. So we'll elaborate upon this Motzei Shabbos and the Yom Kippur shir. But essentially, right, what happened on Shavuos? We received the Torah. What happened in Yom Kippur? Luchos Shnios. So you see that there are a lot of parallels, right, between sort of the two tracks. We got, right, Rosh Hashanah very much parallels Pesach, and Yom Kippur very much parallels Shavuos. Right? It's all about Kabbalah Satorah and having a plan going through. It's about the Pratim, right? Shavuos received the mitzvahs. Yom Kippur, right, is all about the details. We have a very long list of Al-Khayt, which is all about the Pratim. And then both of these tracks culminate in Sukkos. Now it's interesting. On all of our Yom Tovim, we only have one mitzvah. On Rosh Hashanah, we have the mitzvah of Shofar. On Pesach, we have the mitzvah of Matzah. See where he says the sign, but it's all together. What? That's Erev Pesach. But it's all part of the same. It's all part of the same. On Sukkos, it's interesting. Where we have two separate mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Sukkah. We have the mitzvah of Lulav. And they seemingly don't have anything to do with one another. I'll explain the connection. But right, these two mitzvahs seem to fit within these two tracks. Right, the mitzvah of Sukkah is part of the Shalosh Regalim track. If you look in the Torah only mentions the mitzvah of Lulav one place, in Parshas Emor, where? Right after it talks about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If you look where the Torah mentions Sukkah, where does it mention it? Whenever it talks about the Gimel Regalim. In Parshas Re'eh, when the Torah presents the Mo'adim, there's no mention of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and there's no mention of the mitzvah of Lulav. It's probably not coincidental that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that. Because the point is that we have the mitzvah of Sukkah. I'll explain this. Right? The mitzvah of Sukkah is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in the Shalosh Regalim track. And the mitzvah of Lulav is in the Yom Noraim nature track, right? The Teva track. Well, let's explain this, because this is a very important yesod for the mitzvah, what the mitzvah of Lulav is all about. So the Arizal has a very cryptic comment, which requires some elucidation. So the Rizal says that what do we do with the lulav, right? So first we take it, then we do the nanuim, we shake it, and then we do the kiskusim. Where are the kiskusim? The rattling noise, right? When you shake the top of the lulav, it's supposed to make a rattling sound. Right? So you shake it, and then you got the noise at the top of the lulav, if you don't have the brown cairo that sort of makes it dead. Right, but according to Kabbalah, according to Avi Yishonim, right, it's supposed to, the lulav when you shake it, it's not only supposed to just be shaking, it's supposed to make a noise. So the Arizal explains that what you're doing with the lulav is you're taking it, you're turning it from, right, so there's someach, sorry, yeah, there's someach, chai, medaber. So the lulav as is someach, it's teva, it's nature. When you do the nanuim, when you shake it, you make it turn it into a chai. And when you make the rattling noise of it, the kiskusim, you're turning it into a medaber. You're making it speak. That's what the Arizal says. So the question is, what does the Arizal mean by this? So I think pshat. Okay, again, it's not for me to give pshatim in kisei Arizal, but I'll try to elaborate what I think the Arizal is getting at. Right, as we said, Rosh Hashanah is the potential. What did we say in the davening today? V'yeda kufa'ul ki atafi alto. What's that reference to? If you look in the Mefarshim and the Machzor, it's a reference to plants. It's a reference to Teva. When are we mekayim that? With the lulav. According to that reason, we're making the lulav, we're turning into a medaber. When do we take the lulav? We take the lulav, we do the kiskusim specifically with the hollow. So the point, the dalad minim represent all of nature, and when we shake the lulav in the middle of hollow, we're having all of nature say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. And therefore, that is our kiyum of our Rosh Hashanah davening, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's going to be a time where the entirety of nature, the Bria itself, is going to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu as its creator. That's what the lulav is. The lulav is the kiyum of our Tfilas and Rosh Hashanah. So I think that could be what the Arizal is getting at. Again, obviously he had a lot of other kavanas, which I'm not privy to, but I think it could be sort of something along these lines. That's what he meant. Good? Okay. So that's in terms of the lulav, but on the other hand, right, we also have the mitzvah of sukkah. Right, so what's the sukkah all about? So the Gra explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina returned to the Mishkan on Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, after the Chet HaEgel, the Shechina left. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to the Mishkan the first night of Sukkot. So our Sukkah is supposed to be reminiscent of the Mishkan. It's the returning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina to the Mishkan. So what does the Gra mean by this? So if you look, it's interesting, right? So the mitzvah, the Torah says, right, what's the mitzvah of Sukkah? Basukkos Teshu Shivas Yamim. Now where else in Chumash do we find an idea of yeshiva for 7 days? Anyone know? What? Nida? Okay. Badad yeshiva. Okay, good. Whereas in the end of Parsha Sav, by the Miluim from the Mishkan, what the Pasuk says? You know it by heart? Very good. Now what? It says that for 7 days you should sit by the Mishkan day and night. Now, if you look in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli a bit, right, we learned drashas about the mitzvah sukkah from the Mishkan. It seems to be a little strange. Like, why we learn drashas about, like, mitzvah sukkah from the Mishkan? No, but you see it, there's an inherent connection that what we're doing in the mitzvah sukkah, that's the Mishkan. So let's explain this. What's the difference between the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash? So there's a few key differences. I mean, there's a lot of differences, but let's just highlight a few of them. So first of all, what month was the Miluim from the Mishkan? The Miluim from the Mishkan was in Nisan. Nisan is the month that is L'mal Mina Tevo, that's Klal Yisrael. When was the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash? What month? Tishrei. Tishrei is the month about the Bria. What does it say about the Mikdash? Where we say it, ki basi base tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. It's for Jews, it's non-Jews. It's for Jews and non-Jews. The Mishkan is only for Klal Yisrael. So the point is that our mitzvah sitting in the sukkah, it's a miluim in a certain sense. When we sit in the sukkah for 7 days, it's sort of like the same way that they sat in the Moshe Rabbeinu, right? They sat in the Mishkan for 7 days as a miluim to inaugurate the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. That's exactly what we're doing in sukkahs, right after the culmination of the Gimel Regalim and then the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We quote unquote have a miluim. We sort of have a 7 day miluim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to invigorate our lives for the rest of the year. So the point is that the Mishkan, right, is specifically associated with the Sukkah, which is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about the Goyim. Right? For example, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that Lasid Lavo, right, the Goyim are going to complain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them the opportunity to do mitzvahs. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them the mitzvah Sukkah to sort of try out, to see if they handle it. And it's going to make it very hot, and then they're not going to be able to handle it, and then they're going to kick the Sukkah and leave. We see the mitzvah sukkah, it's not shayach to goyim, right? It's us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not for goyim. Right? The lulav, that's teva. Right? That's for everyone. But Sukkah? That's the Mishkan. That's only Klai Yisrael. So the point is that on Sukkot, what's happening? Right, you have now you sort of have the two tracks colliding. Right, you got the Teva track, the nature track, which is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Then you also have Klai Yisrael's track, which is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And the two converge on Sukkot, and you got the Bria as a whole reaching its destiny. And then you have Klai Yisrael as us, we're also reaching our destiny. And the two merge at this time period of Sukkot. So that's sort of Bekitza, right? That's sort of the idea of what Sukkot is all about. Okay, that was like Chilek Aleph, so. Adkan, good? Okay, if anything wasn't clear, or if you have Kashas, Haras, whatever. Okay. Okay, so let's just try to explain now, why is it that Sukkot, according to everything we said, so let's understand, why is it that Sukkot is called Chag Simchasenu? What's Simcha all about? Why is it that specifically associate joy with the holiday of Sukkot? So if you look in the Torah, it's very clear that Simcha is the Gra, the Malbim, a lot of them explain that Simcha refers to an inner state of feeling, right? It's an inner state of happiness. And it's an inner state of happiness of being connected to Hashem. Now, what's the opposite of Simcha? Atzuv, Eitzav. What's the word Atzuv mean? It means sad. Now, what else does the word Atzuv, Eitzav mean? It's a word for an Avodah Zarah, right? Yeah, exactly, right? It means Avodah Zarah. What? Atzavim. A person who's devoid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's sad. That's depression. Because Simcha comes from a chibur, a connection to Hashem. The exact opposite is idolatry, which is a lack of a connection to Hashem. So what's the Simcha of Sukkot all about? So I'm going to say a big yisod that Volpiansky likes to... this is a big yisod, so I'll say it over. The Bria, as a whole... So what happened? Well, he explains that there's sort of two things that sort of break off, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of blocked by two different things. So one is the personal sins that we do, our averus, that sort of creates a barrier between us and Hashem. And then the other thing that creates a barrier was the chait of Adam HaRishon. That happened, once Adam HaRishon sinned, he created a hester panim in this world that concealed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense. So for example, Chazal speak about the fact that before Adam Rishon sinned, right, the fruits grew immediately, right, it didn't take time to grow. And like the bark, for example, Chazal said the bark of a tree, it tastes like the fruit. Once Adam sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu devoided nature, right, he sort of split nature from him. Right. Before, and nature was, right, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control, nature was sort of like Hashem, and everything was like obviously coming from him. But once Adam Rishon sinned, he sort of split the two, and now Adam has to work nature. And now Adam and Rishon had to work nature. And that nature now would sort of be more Teva, it wouldn't be obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling it. So... Right, so we have the sin of Adam Rishon, and we also have our personal sins that create barriers between Hashem. So what do we have? Right, so we have these two tracks. Right, we got the Shalosh Regalim track and the Yom Noraim track. So let's start with the Yom Noraim track, because this is easier to understand. Right, the Yom Noraim track was supposed to fix that barrier of the personal sins that we do. The personal sins that we do create a barrier for Kadosh Baruch Hu, which, as we said, simply comes from the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we do sins, that creates a barrier between us and Hashem. So tshuva sort of removes that barrier and allows for the simcha to come in. That's one. Now, to be metakin the chait of Adam HaRishon, what do we have? We have the Gimel Regalim. What did we do at the Gimel Regalim? We went to the Beis HaMikdash, which there's a Gilei Shechina. Because the Gilei Shechina is the exact opposite of the Hester Panim that Adam HaRishon brought into the world through his sin. So the point is, on the Shalosh Regalim, we're undoing, in a certain sense, we're trying to rectify the sin of Adam and Rishon by bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence more into the world. But additionally, on top of that, on the Gimel Regalim, what do? Right, we incorporate nature within the Korbanos. Right, what do we? Right, in Pesach, we take the Omer, and on Shavuos, we do the Bikurim, and Sukkos again, it's all about nature. Because the point is that we're trying to reunite nature with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it was sort of before the Chet. So Sukkos, which is the culmination of the Shalosh Regalim, right, the culmination of the Gilei Shechina that's revealed by Shalosh Regalim in the Tikkun of Adam Rishon's Chet, is also the culmination of our personal tshuva that we did, hopefully, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the point is that the two of them are now colliding on Sukkos. And that leads to ultimate Simcha, because as we said, Simcha is closest to Hashem. There's two barriers. There's the barrier of our personal sins, the barrier that came into the existence through the Chet of Adam Rishon. And through the Gimel Regalim, and through the and through our personal tshuva, we're removing those barriers. So that creates the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. Right? That creates the Zman Simchasenu, that lack that didn't exist beforehand. Okay, good? Alright, so the point is that you see that, right, you see the two tracks, right, the two tracks emerging, right? We got the nature, right? We have everything coming together. We got nature, we got Klai Yisrael as a whole, our destiny, and everything sort of coming together as one in Sukkos. So lastly, yeah?
Why is it that for being Taki in nature to be spread out much more than being Taki in the
ourselves? It's a good question. I don't know. Look, obviously, also Metzius, like, nature sort of takes more time, right? I don't know. It's a good question. Put this, if how many people have done Elul properly? Right? Elul is 30 days. How many people do that? That's, like, too much time. So it could be we need, I don't know. It's a good question. Where was I? Okay. And so, what else do we have on Sukkos? Right, so we also have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right, which is the heightened Simcha of Sukkos. So what's that all about? So, by a normal Korban, what do? Right, you take something physical and you burn it. Right, you take a Korban, you burn it, the Gosh Baruch Hu, and then there's like the Reach Nicholach that sort of goes up. Right, but you're sort of dividing between like the physical. Right? You have the physical, which is like the korban itself, that's destroyed, and then the spiritual part, like, is the Reach Nicholach goes up to Shemayim. What do we do with the Nisach HaMayim and Sukkos? Right, we draw water, and then we pour it back in. Right, we draw water from the source, and we pour it back into the Mizbeach. Because right, there's no barriers anymore. Right, there's no barriers between. Right, it's not like. Right, by like if you take a mincha, right, we have to burn the mincha because there's sort of a barrier between us and Hashem, right, the physical and the gashmi, the physical and the ruchnias. So therefore we sort of different. But on Sukkos, when everything's coming back together, we take water, which according to the Sifrei Kabbalah is about avas Hashem. It's all about our ava. We take that, we pour it, and we pour it back because it's a reciprocal relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any barriers. Right, there's no stopping. Right, there's no. Normally, what do you do with water? You take water, you water the plants, and then the plants, like, it's like a whole process. No, but the point is now, everything's coming back together, so the water you pour in, it goes right back out. Because that represents the Bria without any blockages, right, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so let's just give a... So, to make long things short, right, the holiday of Sukkos, it's the culmination of, right, it's the culmination of the Shalosh Regalim, and it's the culmination of the Tshuva season. It's the culmination of the Bria reaching its potential, which is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. Going back to it, so we discussed a lot, the Rosh Hashanah, we're going back to our Shoresh, we're going back to what the world was like, Kodem Achet. Sukkos, right, Kodem Achet, everything represented, right, everything was clear from every, even the plants, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the maker of the world. On Sukkot, we're going back to that, because we're having all of nature recognize the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu created it, which was like Kodem Machet. And on top of that, right, we also have the special relationship which comes about through the Gimel Regalim, which culminates in the Chuppah, right? The Sukkah is the Chuppah, it's us and Hashem, it's not for the Goyim, it's the Mishkan, it's not the Mikdash. And the point is that we're bringing everything together, that our relationship with Hashem is coming together with nature, where the two of us are reaching, right? We're reaching the world's purpose, because the tachlis of the world is for Kosh Baruch Hu to have a nation in the world, in the malchus, it's about a malchus that recognizes the Kosh Baruch Hu, right? So the malchus of Hashem is all of nature, in all of us, recognize Him and fulfilling our roles. And then that's what sort of Sukkot is all about. It's reaching this, it's sort of this kiyum of our tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the kiyum of our, what we do on Pesach and Shavuos, and it sort of all ends up. That's why there's so many allusions on Sukkot to La'asid Lava, a lot. Like we talk about the Leviathan, and we talk about, you look in the Haftorahs, we talk about Gog and Magog, and we talk about the war at the end, because that's what Sukkot is all about. It's all about the realization of everything that occurred through the Gimel Regalim and through the Yom Narayim. So, okay, that's because there's a little Yesh Harbe Malkum L'Harich L'Chol, but just a Rosh Prakim, just give a deeper understanding what the holiday is really about. So, okay.